You're listening to Podcaster Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. Podcaster Practice brings you expert-led independent medical education discussions, inspiring healthcare professionals to maximize their learning and make measurable changes in their own clinical practice. This podcast is part of an independent medical education program entitled T2D and CKD, Putting Evidence into Practice, and is supported by an independent educational grant from Novo Nordisk.
Welcome back to this independent medical education program called Type 2 Diabetes and CKD, Putting the Evidence into Practice. My name is Nico Marx. I'm a professor of medicine and cardiology at the University of Aachen in Germany, and I have a long-standing clinical and research interest in cardiovascular disease and comorbidities, in particular type 2 diabetes and chronic kidney disease. Today, I'm going to discuss therapies for diabetic kidney disease that work across multiple disease disciplines and the evidence and guidelines to support their use. Historically, there have not been many options to reduce cardiovascular or kidney risk in patients with diabetes and chronic kidney disease. There were data demonstrating that blood pressure control reduces kidney endpoints and cardiovascular endpoints, and there was evidence that treatment with ACE inhibitors or ARBs reduces kidney endpoints. And in addition, we had data on statin therapy, a statin-based lipid-lowering regimen, that this reduces cardiovascular endpoints in patients with chronic kidney disease, but not in patients with dialysis. This has changed over the last decade with the results of large cardiovascular outcome trials for SGLT2 inhibitors for the non-steroidal MRA finerenone, as well as GLP-1 receptor agonists in patients with diabetes. And these data demonstrated a reduction of both cardiovascular and kidney endpoints. Let's look at this in more detail. SGLT2 inhibitors inhibit the SGLT2 receptor in the proximal tubule of the kidney, thus leading to excretion of both glucose and sodium into the urine. These drugs have been developed to treat patients with diabetes, and a couple of large cardiovascular outcome trials have been conducted. There were dedicated trials in patients with CKD. There was the CREDENCE trial in patients with type 2 diabetes and DKD. And then we had DAPA-CKD and EMPA-KIDNEY 2 trials assessing the effect of SGLT2 inhibition, dapagliflozin and empagliflozin, in patients with CKD with and without diabetes. Overall, the results of these trials demonstrated that SGLT2 inhibitors in patients with diabetes reduce cardiovascular endpoints, such as heart failure, hospitalization, or cardiovascular death, but in addition to that, reduce renal or kidney endpoints, such as decline of eGFR, but also additional endpoints, such as the requirement for hemodialysis. Finerenone is a non-steroidal mineralocorticoid receptor antagonist that has been examined in two large cardiovascular outcome trials in patients with type 2 diabetes and chronic kidney disease. In these trials, the Fidelio DKD trial, which had a kidney disease progression primary outcome and a secondary endpoint on cardiovascular events, and the Figaro DKD trial, which had a primary endpoint of cardiovascular events and a secondary endpoint of renal endpoints, it has been demonstrated that treatment with finerenone in this patient population compared to placebo reduces cardiovascular as well as kidney endpoints. For example, reduction of heart failure hospitalization or cardiovascular death and reduction of progression of eGFR decline or requirement for dialysis. Finally, GLP-1 receptor agonists, drugs that have been developed to treat patients with diabetes, act on the incretin system by activating the GLP-1 receptor. In large cardiovascular outcome trials in patients with type 2 diabetes, these agents have consistently shown a reduction of the 3-point MACE endpoint. meaning reduction of cardiovascular death or non-fatal MI or non-fatal stroke. And the large meta-analysis demonstrated that the benefit of these agents is mainly related to reduction in atherosclerosis-related events, reduction of myocardial infarction, and reduction of stroke. In addition, GLP-1 receptor agonists reduce albuminuria, suggesting that there's also a beneficial effect on the kidney. So let's look at clinical guidelines and see how these data from large cardiovascular outcome trials have entered the guidelines. And here I'd like to focus on the KDIGO and the ESC guidelines. Let's look at the KDIGO guidelines first. SGLT2 inhibitors should be used as first-line therapy alongside metformin when the eGFR is 20 or above, and SGLT2 inhibitors can be continued even if the eGFR drops below 20, since it is known that treatment with an SGLT2 inhibitor leads to a drop in eGFR, and this means that the drug can be continued. Keep in mind, metformin can only be used if the eGFR is above 30. In addition, KDIGO recommends long-acting GLP-1 receptor agonists for patients who do not achieve individualized glycemic targets despite the use of metformin and SGLT2 inhibitors. And finally, KDIGO guidelines recommend that finerenone can be added to first-line therapy for patients with type 2 diabetes and high residual risk of both CKD progression and cardiovascular events, as evidenced by persistent albuminuria. Let's look at the guidelines of the European Society of Cardiology for the management of cardiovascular disease in patients with diabetes that was published in August last year. Here it is recommended that an SGLT2 inhibitor, meaning canagliflozin, empagliflozin, or dapagliflozin, is recommended in patients with type 2 diabetes and chronic kidney disease with an eGFR of 20 or above to reduce the risk of cardiovascular and kidney failure. And this has a class 1A recommendation, so a very strong recommendation based on the trials that I reviewed before. In addition, in the ESC guidelines, finerenone is recommended in addition to an ACE inhibitor or ARB in patients with type 2 diabetes and an eGFR above 60 with a UACR equal or above 300 milligram per gram, or an eGFR between 25 and 60 and a UACR of 30 or above milligram per gram, to reduce both cardiovascular events and kidney failure. And this is also a class 1A recommendation based on the evidence from the Fidelio and the Figaro DKD trial. Moreover, a GLP-1 receptor agonist is recommended at an eGFR above 15 to achieve adequate glycemic control due to the low risk of hypoglycemia and beneficial effects on weight, cardiovascular risk, and albuminuria. So to put all this together, it is important that patients with diabetes are screened for the presence of chronic kidney disease by measuring eGFR and albuminuria. And in addition, it's important to implement those therapies for which we have data that they reduce both cardiovascular and kidney failure risk, meaning SGLT2 inhibitors and finerenone, and GLP-1 receptor agonists if patients do not have adequate glycemic control on an SGLT2 inhibitor and metformin. Finally, I'd like to invite you to listen to the next podcast, which is importance of interdisciplinary working with a patient at the center. And I'd like to encourage you to test your knowledge in the case studies as they are released. In addition, the next podcast will be held by Tina Wilsboll, and she will speak with the patient about the importance of shared decision-making and how best to communicate with patients with CKD. So finally, therapies to reduce both cardiovascular and kidney failure risk should be implemented by all of us, endocrinologists, nephrologists, cardiologists, and primary care physicians. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention.
Thank you for listening to Podcast to Practice, brought to you by Springer Healthcare IME. For more information on our educational programs available, visit ime.springerhealthcare.com.